And we'll get ready to read our scriptures for the sermon this morning as we talk about the Christian home. Genesis chapter 2. Once you found your place, please stand with me. The reading of God's word, Genesis chapter number 2. And our children ages 4 through 9, you can meet up front, be dismissed to children's church. And Genesis chapter number 2, adults, we're going to be reading there. And getting ready for standing for the Christian home. Amen. Genesis is the first book in your Bible, so it should be no problem finding that one. Amen. Everybody's got Genesis, say amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to read Genesis 2 and verses 20 through 25. But let me just say a few things about what we're going to talk about this morning. We're talking about standing for the Christian home. And the background for training to stand is the home. If any Christian is going to stand for anything, it's going to be some training done in the home. The church's job is just to reinforce that. Sunday school, children's church is just to reinforce what you're teaching at home. But the home is the background for the training to stand. But not just any home. We're talking about a Christian home where Christ is preaching, godliness is practiced. Christ needs to be preached because that's how change happens. And then godliness needs to be practiced. And so everyone comes from a home of some sort, whether it's a great home, a good home, or a grievous home, a home is where everybody comes from. The definition of home is this: it's a one's place of residence, or it's the social unit formed by a family living together, but biblically speaking, there is a man and a woman married and then bearing children in that family. Now, I know we live in a fallen society, and there are many homes that are single moms or single dads and some divorced and remarried. I know there's a whole lot of that going on. But what we're going to do is get back to the original plan that God has in the Bible. And we're going to look at the one union flesh in the Christian home, especially if all of society comes from a home of some sort. We've got to make sure that as Christians, it's going to be a godly home. And so Genesis chapter number 2, and I want us to read in verse number 20, and let's read down to verse number 23. There we go. Read with me. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Amen. You know, when you look at this, you find Adam and Eve being made from Adam. And that's what we're going to talk about today. In talking about the Christian home, it's good to go back and see how it all got started in the first place. And to draw some insight from God's original plan. God brings together one man and one woman to form one union. Now, I know society wants to call marriage between two ladies and two men the same thing. My friend, I beg to differ. God said it's one man and one woman. And we're going to look at the one flesh union that God ordained to see how God brought us together in our union as man and wife, and better understand why and what he did in bringing man and woman together, because there is a formula here that God is dealing with. Amen. And I want to show you another scripture as well. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 31. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31, because you see a familiar phrase repeated that was over in Genesis chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 31. The Bible reads this way. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. God never said that about two men. He never said it about two women. He said it about one man and one woman. Then turn over to Hebrews with me as well. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews 13. Now, again, society has told us a whole lot of things, and I'm not going to apologize for preaching the Word of God. But if people don't like what the Bible says, then they don't have to listen to it. But it's still God's Word, and it still stands. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 13 and verse number 4, the Bible says this, marriage is honorable in all. That means when God looks down on society, he is pleased with marriage. He blesses marriage, whether they're saved or unsaved. It's honorable in all. It says, in the bed undefiled, but get this, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God deals very, very severely with those that want to engage in things that they ought not engage in when they're not married. Amen and amen. People can say they want out of society. Well, it's a promiscuous society. And this. You can say what you want to say. I'm just telling you what God says. Amen. There's a judgment. There's a penalty that is there because God takes marriage very, very seriously. And I think we ought to take it seriously as well. Marriage is honorable in all and nothing is wrong with marriage. It's often the marriage partner's concepts of marriage that makes things go wrong.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Marriage is still holy. It's still heavenly. It still should be highly sought after to bring fulfillment and raise up a godly seed in a godless age. And although society is trying to tear the family unit down, replace it with substitutes and live-ins and shack-ups and backups and alternate lifestyles, there is no replacement for the families. Amen and amen. There's a godly family that God wants to raise up, and he's got to come from godly people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You say, well, preacher, the world's not going to like that. I can care less. The world never likes what God has to say.
Amen.
But I tell you one thing, God's people ought to like it.
Yes, sir.
And God's people ought to live it. Amen.
Yes,
getting quiet now.
Yes,
marriage
sir.
Is between one man and one woman for life.
Yep.
And that's what it is. Father, bless now. As we embark upon standing for the home, the Christian home, Lord, that we have to stand for it because no one else is going to stand for it. The world's not going to stand for a Christian home. They want to do what they want to do. But God, help us as Christians to make sure that we're going back to the original plan, the original blueprint, and we're seeing what marriage is all about and what it involves and what it entails. And then, Lord, what it does not entail. And I pray that, Lord, when we're done with this month and we could stand more firmly for the Christian home, and we could stand and withstand in the evil day. Lord, we could stand against the onslaught of evil that Satan is trying to bring our way to pervert this precious gift that God has given to us called marriage. Lord, the world wants to call it all sorts of things between two men and two women. And they want to call that marriage. And God, that is far from the truth. You said, be fruitful and multiply. Two men cannot do that, neither can two women do that. And so, Lord, I pray that we can stand for the Christian home and not give in to the world's philosophy, not listen to what the world has to say, but, Lord, trust in the living word of God. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. The Christian home is very vital and very valuable to the plan of God, and help us to take it seriously. Loving wives and submissive wives, loving husbands and submissive husbands and obedient children, God, help us to take this Christian home business seriously and stand for it. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, Lord. If there's one today without Jesus Christ, help that man, help that woman, that boy or girl receive Christ before it's everlasting too late. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessed.
folks, amen. Every song is your favorite, just about, amen. I've got so many, but I really do like that song, Lord, I Need You. Mrs. Dawson and I sang that several times. We were over in Belgium, and it had a special place in my heart. Amen. By the way, you know, we have been bombarded with the world's philosophy for so long when it comes to the idea of marriage that we have gotten so far away from the blueprint. And we have gotten so far away from what God talks about. We're going to be talking about this month the basic blueprint of the one flesh marriage, which is today. Then over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the roles that we should be playing, because today the roles have been totally reversed. Then we're going to be talking about the roles that children play as well in the home and the family. You know, they are to be cherished, they are to be raised up, they are to be trained, and there's a special place that God has for children in the home. And so we're going to be talking about those issues here over the next several Sundays. And I trust you'll bear with me, and then we'll have the counter videos to help go along with those in the evening services. And so I do hope you'll come back tonight as we talk about how to build a storm-proof marriage, because there will be storms in your marriage. Amen. I have not met a perfect marriage yet, because it's made up of two imperfect people. Both are sinners. Amen. And both are selfish. You said, I'm not selfish. Yes, you are. You are selfish. You want your way, and your husband wants his way. Amen. And throw in another variable. Your children want their way. Amen. And so now if you want your way and your husband wants their way and the children want their way, amen, not everybody can get their way. You say, what way is it? It's God's way. It's supposed to be God's way. Amen. If God gets his way, then everything will go fine. It'll be the way of God. Amen. And there's so much that we're going to talk about this week. We're going to start on the introduction this week of today's message dealing with the one flesh union. And I read those scriptures for a reason. Genesis talks about how God began to bring them together and the whole process with that. Ephesians emphasizes or reemphasizes the reason why the man leaves mother and father is to cleave unto the wife and they become one flesh. And then Hebrews begins to talk about what happens when we're outside of this marriage arrangement. He said, whoremongers and adulterers, God's going to judge. Amen. He's got a plan for them. So that's why we read it. Amen. I understand we live in a fallen world, but that still does not change God's original plan. And you can do what you want to do and say what you want to say, but God's plan is still good. We get an amen. God's plan of marriage is still good. You can't get it any better. God's plan is still good. It can still work with his grace, amen, even in a fallen world following his plan. So, hey, preacher, what if I'm divorced and remarried? God's grace is still sufficient for your marriage. Yes, sir, it is. Amen. What if I'm divorced and single? God's grace is still sufficient for your marriage. Amen. God's grace is still sufficient. I don't care what category you fall into. God's grace is still sufficient. And that's what we've got to rely upon. In the one flesh union, let's consider, first of all, the prescription for man. Genesis chapter number 2. Let's go back to verse number 20. The prescription for man. By the way, let me interject this before we get into the message. Marriage is not for everybody. Although God made man for woman, made the woman for the man, marriage is not for everybody. Some of y'all looking at me strange. The Bible says the woman was made for the man. And we'll look at that in a few minutes. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is 2017. Surely the lady's got something to say about that. No, the woman was made for the man.
Yes, sir.
That's just how it is. Well, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it at all. Amen. We'll look at that later on. The prescription for man, there was, first of all, I want you to notice this. I didn't make my point. My point was this. I got off of that. Not everybody should marry. And not everybody wants to marry. Not everybody needs to marry.
Right.
But there are some that God specifically wakens to marry.
That's right, Pastor.
Not everybody should marry.
Wow.
And not everybody will marry. And don't look at someone strange if they don't marry. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
You say, well, preacher, well, God put it in the Bible. Amen. God put some other things in the Bible, too.
Yes, sir, he does.
So let's look about, first of all, the prescription for man. Verse number 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. The prescription for man. There was the need for a partner that we see here. God always has something for us when he knows it's for our good and we have a need. It says, for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. God allowed Adam to name the animals and look at all their pairing counterparts and saw that he had no counterpart or an help meet. Say, preacher, what's an help meet? An help meet means aid. So when you see down there in verse number 20 towards the end, for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. There was not an aid for him. There was not sufficient help for him. And some men sensed their need for a help meet very early. And others don't. I didn't sense it at all. I mean, I looked at my cousin. He had a Corvette car, and I thought, man, that's sharp. I'm going to get me a Corvette. And then I saw a Toyota Supra. I said, man, I'm going to get one of those. And I set out to get myself a Toyota Supra. I had no sense and no need of a woman in my life at all. My mindset said, if I got a woman, I got to share what I got. And I ain't got much. And so I don't want to share what I got because I ain't got much, and I want that Toyota Supra. And so I didn't sense my need. I was content being single. I was fully able to take care of myself until I was awakened by God to a special young lady named Carmen Davila. And when I saw her, the Corvette went out the window. The Toyota Supra dreams went out the window. And what little bit that I had, I didn't have any problem sharing with her. Why? God awakened something in me that sensed my need, I needed an help meet for me. Yes. And so if God doesn't awaken you, you don't need to be married. Amen. But everybody else is doing it. Everybody jump off the cliff, you're going to jump off too. Once God awakened me, then I had a desire to share my life with the one that I was going to be completed by, and her name was Carmen Davila. A marriage is ordained of God, and he knows the heart's need of every one of his children. And God knows that you desire a husband or a wife. It's because he has awakened that desire in you. God never awakens a desire without the means to fulfill it God's way. Let me specify that. God's way, because Satan will try to fulfill a desire in you too. The wrong way. That's why I read marriage is honorable and all. And the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Well, I got awakened to a need. Satan has no problem filling your need. He just won't fill it God's way. And so there was a need for a partner in my life. Marriage is ordained of God, and he knows the heart's need of every one of his children. John Phillips says it this way: God deliberately awakened in Adam a sense of need and awareness that he hungered for human companionship. And above all that, he needed and wanted a wife. God never awakens a desire that he cannot and will not satisfy in his own good time and way. I often say this for marriages. Marriage should not be entered into carelessly, but prayerfully, reverently, and cautiously in the sight of God. Why? This is a commitment for the rest of your life. People want to just jump into marriage nowadays and with the idea, oh, if it doesn't work out, just get divorced. Then why even jump into it if that's your mentality? I told my wife when we got married, look, I ain't in for divorce. So we can just settle that right now. We ain't splitting up. Till death do we part. And if you don't like that, then you don't want me. Because I have no plans of getting rid of you. And you're not going to get rid of me because wherever you go, I won't follow you. Amen. Be a stalker. Amen. Where's she at? There she go. Who's that guy following you? Oh, that's my husband. What happened to him? I tried to divorce him, but he won't leave me. Amen. Ain't going to happen. I'll chase you down. Amen. For me, God awoke a desire in me for my wife. He awoke a desire in me for my call to preach. He awoke a desire in me for our son when they said we couldn't have children. He awoke a desire in me for our building, and he gave me each one of them. What am I trying to say? God, when he awakens a desire in you, if it's of God, he will fulfill the desire if it's from him.
If it's not from him, you better watch out, because the devil has very, very good ways of fulfilling desires that you have. So you better check your desires and see if they're of God. Well, I desire this. Well, I desire the Corvette and the Super. You see, I ain't get one. Why? It wasn't of God. G2 trying to get me to get a Charger or, no, what's that car? A Challenger. You see, I ain't got one of those either. God didn't awaken that desire in me. Amen. He awakened that in him. I told him to get him a job and he'll get one. Amen. You'll be fine. He got one of those already, brother. That's not sufficient. Amen. God knows our need and loves us too much not to meet our need. There's a caveat, caution. It's foolish to go into a relationship based on someone else's need or desire for you. You hear people say, you're going to be an old maid. When are you going to get married? You're going to be single all your life. When are you going to get your wife? Don't get married because somebody else said you ought to get married. Don't do that. You must see your need for marriage. Convenience marriages are not wise. Don't make a bad situation worse. My mama used to tell me, boy, you can do bad all by yourself. Don't make a bad situation worse. Guess what? If you're already doing bad, you get married, you ain't going to get much better. Yeah. Amen. Let me encourage you, young people, if you're not married and you desire to be married, be what God would have you to be first before you start looking for anybody. You be what God wants you to be, and you will attract the right person. If you're not where you should be, you're going to attract the wrong person where you shouldn't have been. And you'll attract that person where you shouldn't have been. And you'll get that person. And that person will take you away from what you need to be instead of helping you to become what God wants you to be. Amen. So be all that God wants you to be first, and you will attract the right person. Well, preacher, I'll be 100 years old. God is not interested in you being 100 years old. That would take you 100 years to get right with God. That's how long it's going to take. But God wants you to be right, because Satan has a way of bringing people your way. And that's why it's imperative for you and I to be able to stand, to be able to withstand an evil day. Why? Satan's going to bring some people your way to get you away from standing, to get you not to withstand. And he's having done all to stand. We still need to stand, therefore, in the area of the Christian home and in the area of marriage. You've got too many young people growing up, getting married and getting divorced quicker than you can shake a stick. By the way, not everybody needs a partner. Some can take being single with no problem at all. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll come back to Genesis in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul's giving some encouragement on marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, drop down with me to verse number 7. By the way, before we even get there, go to verse number 1, because he opens up with this. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. Now, Paul said that because they wrote to him about marriage. And when they wrote to Paul about marriage, Paul is answering them back. And Paul says, now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, let me respond to you. He said this, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He said, keep your hands off. In other words, you don't need to be with a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, that's sex outside of marriage. He said, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. He said, if you cannot contain yourself, then you need to get married. But you better get married in the will of God. If you're already in that state of burning lustfully, I can surmise you're probably not in the will of God. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm saying you might not be. He talks down there about the things to give to the husband and to the wife. Then he says this in verse number 9, but if they cannot contain them, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. People say, well, see, burn in hell. Not talking about that. I'm talking about burning in your passions. Burning in your passions. You need to get a wife. You need to get a husband if you're going to have some passions that are burning. But again, you better get married in the will of God. And if your passions are burning that strongly, something's not right. Can I get an amen? If your passions are burning that strong, something's not right with your thought life. Amen. And come on now, y'all work with me. Y'all work with me. Then he goes down there in verse number 7. He says this. For I would that all men were even as I myself. What was Paul? Single. He said, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. What is Paul's connotation there? Don't get married. I'm fine, Paul says. I'm fine. But he says, but if they cannot contain, they can't be like me, then let them marry. It's better to marry than to burn. And drop down to verse number 28. He says, but, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you, Paul said, I'm letting you know right now. You get married, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to take care of that wife. Wife, you're going to have to contend with that husband. Now, you can do bad by yourself, but you can do doubly bad with somebody else. I'm just warning you, Paul says. Drop down to verse 32. He says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. He said, look, I'm unmarried. I don't have to worry about anybody but myself and the Lord. Care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his who? Wife. He said, wait a minute now. If you get married, you got to take care of her. She needs security. She needs finances. She needs protection. She needs a home. She needs some things, some securities that only you can provide. Not only that, you're going to have to love her and cherish her and nourish her and know her. Paul said, I'm just warning you that if you get married, it does come with a price. Now, if you're single like me, hey, just you. How many of y'all remember how it was like when you were single? Fred raised his hand. The rest of y'all don't want to admit it. I don't remember what it was like. No. Y'all know what it was like. You could go where you wanted to go. You can do what you want to do. Your money was your money. It wasn't y'all money. I mean, you didn't have to report to nobody. You could do what you want to do. But then you got married. And you had to report. You had to confer. You had to counsel. You had to be concerned. Before it was just you and your money and your Toyota Supra or your Corvette. Can only imagine what kind of car Serge had. Amen. A 55 Chevy and a motorcycle. Amen. I got married. My wife made me get rid of my motorcycle. No, she encouraged me to get rid of it. I still got it on my license just in case. Go borrow Kenny's motorcycle, ride his. What am I saying here? Paul is letting him know marriage is not for everybody. Not everybody should get married. Jesus even seconded that motion. Go back to Matthew 19. Just want to set the groundwork here because you got people rushing into marriage at 18 to 19 years old and they're not ready for marriage. Matthew 19, verse number 10. Notice what Jesus said. Now, he's just coming off of dealing with divorce and remarriage. And he's, you know, they asked the question, can we put our wives away for anything, basically? Notice verse number 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? If she got up on the wrong side of the bed, she's out of here. She burnt her toe. She's out of here. She can't make lasagna. You're out of here. She can't make turkey. You're out of here. Every cause. Think about that. Every cause. Now, what boneheaded person would even ask a question like that if their wife is even in the vicinity? Priest, amen. But they ask such a boneheaded, can I put her away for anything? I don't like what she's done. Her breath stinks today. You're gone. She didn't put her paint on. She's gone. She didn't polish her nails. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You got the ladies walking around like this. Oh, you're tippy-toeing too high. You're out of here. I can put you away for every cause. Verse 4, he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain should be one flesh? Question mark. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. How are you going to divorce something that's one? What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Hey, if you try to divide that which is one, you tear it up. It becomes a half, not a whole. Amen. It becomes a half, not a whole anymore. If it's one. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? For every cause, they probably would add. He says unto Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. Ooh, that should have just stabbed him in the heart right there. He said, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. I don't see Adam leaving Eve when she ate of the fruit. I don't see them divorcing after they got out of the garden. You got me into this mess. As soon as we get out of this garden, I'm leaving you. Get out of this garden. Now you go that way and I'm going this way. Them would have been two lonely souls. Because there wasn't nobody else like them. There was another man like Adam and there was another woman like her. They would not have had any children. They'd have been looking at them animals until times got tough. They didn't get out of the garden and say, look, I'm through with you. I'm divorcing you. You plunged the whole world into sin. Hey, did you ever look around? It ain't but me and you. Well, we are the whole world. Amen. They didn't divorce. They came out of the garden. They stayed together. Amen. Now, ladies, burn the toast. You're out of here. Husband, don't get a good job. You're out of here. He said, because of the hardness of your heart beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. And here's where I want us to be. Notice what they said. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. If we can't put her away for everything, then we ain't getting married. It was easy when I could put her away for everything. It was easy when I could just get rid of her because of this or that and the other. But now you're talking about I got to stay with her? Man, this I don't like that. And this is why I say, Paul said, you know, not everybody should get married. Jesus begins to jump on that same bandwagon. Notice what he says. Verse 11, but he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying. What saying is that? It is good for the man not to marry. Say they to whom it is given. Jesus said, everybody can't do that, disciples, but some people can. It's given to them not to be married. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. They would use eunuchs after they castrated them to guard the harems. And he said, now, they were made eunuchs. Some were born from the womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and those were the ones that were castrated. But he said, some came out the womb like that, others were made that way. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, like Paul. Paul said, I'm not getting married. I'm not getting married. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. So marriage is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Say, preacher, how do I know it's for me? God awakens a desire in you to be married. God will fulfill that desire God's way as you stay in the will of God. If you don't stay in the will of God, God has no, He don't have to do it. But Satan is looking for substitutes.
Yes, sir, he is, Pastor. He is.
Satan's looking for a lot of substitutes to put somebody in there. And by the way, I will say this too. In this life, God says there's one man for one woman, and he knows exactly the man for the woman.
Yes, sir.
And he wants to put that one man together with that one woman. But what the world has done is got this man with that woman and got this woman with that man. And guess what? They are both unhappy because they should have been together. And this one is unhappy over here. And this one's unhappy over here. And this one has made that one that they're with unhappy. And this one has made that one unhappy that they're with. And so now you've got a problem. Because the one that I should have been with, I'm not with, and so I'm unhappy, and the one that I'm with is unhappy, and the cycle continues. Because we're not in the will of God to get the one that was meant for me, but I've got another one, so now I'm making them miserable, and I'm making them miserable because they should have been with somebody else. And so now the one that they should have been with is miserable, and on it goes. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Why do you think we got so many divorces in this world? Because people aren't with the one they should have been with. Preacher, we don't like that. It's true. It's true. And if I'm not with the one that I should have been with, I'm unhappy. And on it goes. I don't know about y'all, but I love my wife.
Amen.
I'm as happy as a kid in a candy store.
Oh, amen.
Man, I love her. I mean, the first time I met her, it was like, why look any place else? I mean, we got to talking for 3 hours. I thought, man, I already know you. We soulmates.
Good.
She just said to get it past her dad. Dad said, you're going to be a cellmate if you touch my daughter. No soulmate, you're going to be a cellmate. Not only was there a need for a partner, there was a need for a procedure. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. What am I saying here at the outset? At the outset of this introduction, I'm just trying to let you know that everybody shouldn't get married. And I think some people get married before they ought to. And I think some people get married without seeking counsel. Genesis chapter number 2, there was a need for a procedure. Notice verse 21. Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. God could have made Eve like he did Adam. He could have just formed him out of the dust of the ground, but he didn't. There would have been no connection. There would have been no common bond. There would have been no link together. There would have been nothing linking them together. She would have been made from over here. He would have been made from over there. Yes, they had common dirt in common. But God wanted to make sure there was a link. There was a commonality. There was a connection. And so he said, I'm going to take her out of man to make her. God caused a deep sleep. Took one of his ribs. There was a procedure. Notice Adam fell asleep in the will of God. He named the animals like he should have, and he fell asleep in the will of God after completing his job, and God took care of his need. God knows our needs. Be careful if you're in a rush to get married. Isaac got married in the will of God. Jacob got married in the will of God. Joseph got married in the will of God. Moses got married in the will of God, all minding the will of God for their lives and walking with God, and God supplied all their needs for a wife. God did that. Single person, don't resort to measures outside of God's will to find a mate. You'll do yourself and the one you find a world of hurt and dissatisfaction if you go after that which God does not want you to have. You will. You will. You talk to people that have gotten divorced. See how much pain is in their heart. Either they were with the wrong person or they left the right person and got the wrong person. Divorce hurts your heart. It hurts divorcees and divorcees' hearts. It's something that you can't run from. That's something you got to face the rest of your life. That's something you got to talk to. Now, I understand abusive situations. I understand that. But it still hurts. It still hurts. Now, you can't tell me that God, in his infinite wisdom, would put one man together with another woman to abuse them. You can't tell me that. God's will is to get that right person with that right person, and they are going to be a match in heaven. And God works it with his grace. Now, can there be abuse in those situations? Yes, there can. But it ain't God's fault. It's their fault for being selfish. One reason why there are a lot of unhappy marriages is that they went after the wrong one and got them. Went after the wrong one and got them. They were out of the will of God and got the wrong one. And then you stuck with them. Others are singing, pass me not, O gentle Savior. And by the way, he won't. One commentary states, as God formed woman out of a part of the man himself, she was of the same nature, the same identical flesh and blood, of the same constitution in all respects, and consequently having equal powers, faculties, and rights. This at once ensured his affection and excited his esteem. She was like him. Jameson Fawcett Brown says it this way: she was not made out of his head to surpass him, nor from his feet to be trampled on, but from his side to be equal to him, and near his heart to be dear to him. And Matthew Henry paraphrases that in a different way. I like the way Matthew Henry says it. He says it this way. I'll read that quote for you. Matthew Henry said, marriage is ordained of God. I'm sorry, that's not it. Let me find the right quote here. He basically rephrased the same thing. Okay, this is what he says. Matthew Henry quaintly says the woman was taken from Adam's side, not from his head to rule over him, not from his feet to be trampled on, but from his side to be equal with him, from under his arm to be protected by him, from close to his heart to be loved by him. And it is well said, we do not see Adam running frantically all over Eden looking for an helpmeet. God bought the helpmeet to him. Can I get an amen? You got folks going on dating lines and chat rooms and date this and date that and date me and date me and all this internet stuff. And you could get you a total psychopath that's put on there that he's a doctor, a medical MD, and he's got split personality, got 12 personalities. Today I'm a doctor, tomorrow I'm a slayer. Amen. And then you get, oh, he's so kind. That's what they all say. He's got a history as long as the world. People can put anything on the internet. I do not advocate internet dating. Now, I know a lot of people have done it and they've been successful for it. More power to you. But I do not advocate that for any young person. I don't. Because there's too many goons out there. Too many shysters out there trying to take advantage of people that got ulterior motives. So there was a procedure that took place here. Notice not only the prescription for man, the presentation to man, verse 22. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. The presentation to man, not only just a prescription for man, he had a need for a partner. He had a need for a procedure, but then God had a presentation to man. While Adam slept in the will of God, God was busy providing what he needed. Be faithful to serve God for who he is, not for what he can give you. Well, I'll serve God if you give me a wife. I'll serve you God if you give me a husband. No, you serve God because he's God. And if God blesses you with a wife or husband, amen, praise God. God took from man. Something is missing in us, men. We may not understand what it is, but for many a single man, it's an helpmeet. She completes us, and we have to find her. We may be busy trying to get educated, getting jobs, getting money, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but what we really need is a godly wife. I know that's what I needed. I needed a godly wife. God took from man. But then God made for man. God made what he took from man better and more attractive and more dynamic than it could ever been left in us. Think about a rib. What good can you do with a rib? G2 said, eat it. What good can you do with a rib? God took a rib out and made the one. What good can you do with a rib? But God took that rib out. My soul. And made something beautiful with it. Think about your wife. Don't think about mine. I'm looking at mine. God took a rib out and made your wife. Think about that. A beautiful creature from a bony old rib. We went to Claim Jumper the other day, and I got ribs. And they bought G2's ribs out. They were luscious, had all this meat on them. They bought mine out. They look like lean cuisine. I said, if you don't get these Weight Watcher ribs out of here, give me some ribs with some meat on them. They thought it was funny, too. I said, I'm not joking. This ain't. My son got a kiddie plate. He got more meat on his ribs than I got on my adult plate. I'm paying big money for that. Get that. I said, sir, come over here. I said, look at that rib. He looked at it. He said, what's wrong with it? I said, ain't no meat on it. He said, let me call the manager. The manager came out there. What's the problem, sir? I said, ma'am. I said, do you see any meat on this rib? She said, I see your point. I'll bring out some more ribs. You can't do much with a rib. You can't even eat the ones I had, amen. Because I'm not going to eat the bone. But what did he do? God took from man and he made for the man. A rib from his side, what could possibly come from a rib, but God can do the impossible with anything he touches. And so God took from the man and God gave back to the man after taking from the man and making from the man better what he took from him. God returned what he had taken from Adam, greater than before, and he took it and gave it back to Adam, a wife, and she was special. And that's why we are attracted to ladies, because God took something out of us to make a woman. And when we get a woman, it's something that we had missed. And that's what completes us, because God took the rib out and made and brought back to them what was precious. But saying all that, not everybody still should marry, because it's not for everybody. We're going to stop with this right now, but we'll pick it up next week. We see the prescription for man. There was a partner needed. There was a desire awakened, but it took a procedure. And the procedure was to take the rib out and to bring the rib and make the woman. And then God presented to the man. He took from man. He made for the man. Then he gave right back to the man that which he took from him. God took from him and made it special. Wives are special. We live in a generation now where wives are being trampled. They're being disrespected. They're not being taken care of. They're being forced out into the workplace to go and work because the husbands aren't taking care of them. Wives are being neglected. They're not being cared for or talked to. They're not being communicated with. And all the while, they're part of us. And we're the ones neglecting them oftentimes. Do yourself a favor. Treat the wife that you have special. Honor her. Respect her. Acknowledge her. Communicate with her. Love her. I believe those are all the things that Adam did when Eve came in. He couldn't do any of those things with the animals. But then God bought him someone special. And God was able to do something special with what he took out of Adam. I don't know where you're at today, but I can tell you this. The Christian home is going to be a place where one man and one woman are going to be joined together. We'll read the rest of this next week. And they too are going to be one flesh. But they're going to love each other. They're going to respect each other. They're going to honor each other. And they're going to bring children into that relationship. And yes, I know we're sinners, but the grace of God covers a multitude of our sin. And God's grace can enable us to raise a godly seed. And God's grace can help us to put some children out into this world that will stand for God. But it all starts with that dad and that mom, that one flesh union. Young people, I would encourage you, pray about the mate that God wants you to have. You say, well, preacher, I'm not even thinking about getting married. Amen. Then pray about a single life and serving God. But if you are thinking about that mate, then you need to start praying. If you are praying about that, then you need to start serving God and being in the will of God. And if you're praying to God and serving in the will of God, then God will bring the right person your way. But if you're not serving God for who God is, don't expect God to bring you the right person, because Satan will bring you the right person out of the will of God. But it'll be the wrong person for you. But you think it's the right person because you're out of the will of God. Be wise. Understand. And by the way, one of the most important things about marriage, be saved. A marriage without being born again is going to be a disaster. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, you need to be born again today. The Bible is clear. There's a fact of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is clear. The wages of those same sins is death. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a fact of sin. There's a penalty for sin. But Jesus Christ died for sin. Praise God and hallelujah. And all we have to do is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you've got to repent of your sin and turn and receive Christ as your Savior. And then walk in the will of God. And if you do that, God can begin to bless in the area of a spouse for you. You're not married, you need to make plans to get that done as soon as possible. As soon as possible. If you're single, praise God in being single. Don't grovel about being single. Praise God. Serve God being single like Paul. And serve God in the will of God, and God will bring you the right person. But if you go out trying to find that right person at the clubs and on the chat rooms, and you're not going to get the one that God has ordained for you, more than likely. Do it God's way. And let God bring the right person your way. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, we know we are in a fallen world. Some of us here are married. Some are divorced. Some are divorced and remarried. Some are single. Some are dating. Lord, there's so many avenues and types of people here. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to get back to the basics. One man, one woman, in the will of God. And Lord, we might do what we should do in marriage, and that's honor each other and honor you with our marriage and honor you by raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God, help each and every one of us to examine our own hearts to see if we're doing the will of God. And Lord, for those that desire a spouse, bring them the spouse in the will of God. For those that desire to stay single, Lord, bless them in their singleness that they may serve you in the will of God. Those husbands and wives that are married, Lord, bless them and their unity and help them to be unified in that one flesh. And those children, help them to be obedient in the homes and help them be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And God, for those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, save that man, save that woman, that boy or girl. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around, how many would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I desire to be born again, but I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Would you pray for me? All across this room, you raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I want to be, but I'm not sure. I've never been born again. I don't understand it. Would you pray for me? The next question is this. If you're here, are you abiding where God wants you to abide? Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're divorced and remarried, are you abiding and doing what God wants you to do? If not, you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray for God's grace to help you do what you need to do. And serving him in spirit and in truth. And enabling him to bring to you the spouse that he wants you to have. Father, thank you. Now bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as Miss Natasha plays a hymn of invitation. Would you come? Maybe you need to pray for your husband. Maybe you need to pray for your wife. Maybe you'd say, I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better father. Maybe you say, I'm going to be a better child. I'm going to respect and honor my wife a little better. I'm going to treat my husband a little bit better. I'm going to do what I ought to do in the will of God. I'm going to serve God in good times and bad times. I'm going to be what God would have me to be. Prescription for man, there was a need for a partner. Then there was a need for a procedure. God had to take from man to make for man to give back to the man. Maybe you need to pray about your future spouse. God has one man prepared for one woman if that's what he chooses for you. But you may be like Paul. Dedicate your whole life to serving God. And that's fine too. Maybe God hasn't called you to marry, but still serve God. Say, preacher, my husband's not saved. My wife's not saved. Still serve God. And still be what God wants you to be in that marriage. Still be what God would have you to be. Are you walking in the will of God? Say, preacher, how will I know? Well, certain things come in order. First, I get saved. Then I get baptized. I'm walking in the will of God. If you're not baptized, you're not walking in the will of God, and you're saved. You need to present yourself for baptism. Would you do it? Preacher, I've not been baptized. Would you come? Would you come? Maybe you've been saved and baptized, and maybe you need to join this church. Would you come? Would you come? Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm baptized, and I need to join this local church. Would you come? Oh, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm baptized. Join this local church. Would you serve God? Would you serve? Would you come? Three followed him in believer's baptism last week. I can walk in the revealed will of God. And God's job to bring me a spouse. Oh, the devil's trying to make it tricky. He's trying to inflame your passions by television. Trying to inflame your passions by internet and things that you watch and things you see. Oh, but don't give in to that. Guard your hearts. The Bible says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Protect yourself against those passions. Don't burn. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for this one flesh union that we can see starting off, Lord, and how Adam was just walking in the will of God, doing the will of God, naming the animals, minding his business, and there was a need aroused in him by Almighty God. But Lord, you just put him to sleep and you fulfilled that need. Help those here seeking a godly spouse to just fulfill the will of God. And Lord, enable you to give them the spouse that they have need of. Lord, there may be some here in a relationship that's not the greatest. God, I pray you'd give them the grace to stand. There may be some abuse going on verbally. Maybe some things that they don't desire within their marriage. And Lord, I pray the grace of God would be sufficient for them as well. Lord, those that are having good marriages, help those good marriages to become greater. And Lord, help those that have struggling marriages to be strengthened. And then, Lord, help those singles to stay put in the area where they're at until you bring them the right one for them, and help these younger ones to pray for their spouse down the road. Marriage may be nowhere close to their mindset like it was for me. Lord, help those parents to pray for them nonetheless, that the right person would come at the right time in the will of God. And Lord, for that one today that may be lost without Jesus Christ, save that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Lord, if we don't go back to the beginning and see how things were done, then we won't be able to stand for the home. Thank you that you have put it all down in the Bible, your precious word, and we can stand for the Christian home because, Lord, we see it being done by you. Bless now in the remainder of the afternoon. Bring us back tonight, Lord, to enjoy the DVD on how to build a storm-proof marriage, and I pray it might be a blessing to us all, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Pastor White, if you can come and close.